going to start off and read some about the faith heroes in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I want to topic my message, if the Lord will help me. Clothed in the righteousness of God. Now, that may cover a lot of territory. How much time I got? Well, we've had 20 minutes and we've had 25 minutes, and I'm going to try. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That gives us a privilege to believe that is coming to pass that we can't see with our natural eyes. That's faith. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, but was not found, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, in order to be clothed in the righteousness of God, we're going to have to please God to stay in that garment. And if we fail, deliberately fail, to please God with our lives and live according to the requirements of His holy word, we're going to find ourselves that we made a disconnection somewhere. Remember several years ago, a man was preaching, and he called for talking about somebody down yonder at a powerhouse, and down here the current was off. And so the man down here wanted to tell the man, check your connection. Check your connection. And in order for you and me to be clothed in the righteousness of God, we might need to do a little checking on our connection along. And as we look in the mirror, naturally speaking, we see what we look like. Sometimes we might want to turn our head and look at the other wall, but we see what we're looking, what we look like when we look in the mirror, the looking glass. And when we look in the mirror of God's holy word, which is our privilege and our responsibility to do, not just once a month, but let's look in God's word to see how we measure by His word. And how we register on his meter, if you please. The righteousness of God, us clothed in that God's righteousness, we'll live holy, we'll live unspotted from the world. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18 said, wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. In my time, I'm seeing and realizing and aware of the fact that too much worldliness is coming into our churches. Living too close to the world. My friend, if you don't know it, sin has a magnetic power, and you get too close to it, you're liable to be drawn away from the righteousness of God. All right, I've mentioned Cain was the man that was evil, and he slew his brother Abel. But Abel was a righteous man. And numbers of others in the scriptures that I'd love to bring out, we think of Abraham as being the father of the faithful. God made a promise to him, and it looked like it was impossible that should take place. But since God said it, it was not impossible. Because we read the scripture where it tells us that all things are possible with God. And then we go to the scripture that said all things are possible to him that believeth. Can we exercise faith into God that spoke the world into existence and realize that whatever we need, he is amply able to supply. I think of Paul as he prayed for grace. He prayed for the thorn to be removed from the flesh. Now this was Paul after his conversion. I'll get to some before his conversion after a while, Lord being my helper. But after he was converted, there was a thorn in the flesh, and people have made their statements about, or their imaginations about what this thorn was. But the scripture said, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should become exalted above measure. Given a thorn in the flesh. My friend, we notice when he got the answer, he said he besought the Lord thrice that it might be removed. But when the answer came, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So when we're weak, he's strong. When we don't know how, he knows how. And when we're led and governed and kept by his Spirit, my friends, there's no excuse for us paying attention or listening to the things that the devil has to offer. He's the devil. He's Lucifer. He's our adversary. And he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Jesus said, I am come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. But the thief, the devil, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And let me tell us, he don't come clothed in the same suit every time. He can transform himself. My friend, the scripture says, sometimes into an angel of light. Listen, friends, we must be aware of the fact that the devil wants to tear us down. He don't like what we're doing. He don't like God. He don't like God's work. And if you're working for God, he don't like you. And he's out to destroy, he's out to tear down. But the grace of God is sufficient for you and me in the day and age in which we live, just as much as it was for Paul in the day he lived in. We think of the Pharisaical religion. There was a Pharisee and a publican that went into the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. Self-exaltation is dangerous.
Yes, it is.
Let me repeat that. Self-exaltation is dangerous. Self-praise is dangerous. The publican would not even so much as lift his eyes toward heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The scripture says, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For he that humbleth himself shall be exalted, and he that exalteth himself shall be abased. Brought low, if you please. Self-praise and self-exaltation is dangerous. I'm afraid that's the root that's inspired by the devil. He's out to destroy it any way he can. He's out to tear us down. But I want us to realize the fact that it is very necessary that we maintain the righteousness of God and be clothed in his righteousness. Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. For he had this testimony. Do we have a testimony? I remember in my earlier days, most Christians had a testimony when they had an opportunity to praise the Lord and thank him for their redemption, their salvation. They had something to praise the Lord about. But in our day and time, not everybody has a testimony with inspiration in it. I remember a sister that used to go to Providence Church long years ago, and she had a testimony that if you had a shook, so to speak, she could kindle a fire to it. She could tell you something that would do you good. And she was inspired. And I thank God today that there can still be followers of Christ that can have inspiration from God. And they can tell people something they need to hear if they listen. And there's a people that have ears but they hear not. People that have eyes but they see not. But if we'll stay clothed in the righteousness of God, my friend, we'll be able to be a help to somebody somewhere along the way as we journey through this world. We're going through a world of sin. And we're living in an age of uncertainty, insecurity. Our only place of safety today is covered by the blood of Jesus. I pray almost daily. I want to stay close to the cross and covered by His blood. My friend, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, our adversary, that's walking about thinking whom he may devour. My friend, he cannot pull you out from under the blood covering of Jesus Christ. So let's maintain that thing, my friends. The righteousness of God flowed in God's righteousness and be able to stand the test that comes our way. We're going to be tested. We're going to be tried. I say God's going to have a tried people. So many people say that the saints is going to sail out of here before the time gets rough. But let me tell you, we're getting close to the time when it's going to get rougher than it's ever been to us. So we need to be anchored in Him that's never lost a battle. The righteousness of God. Abraham was considered as and called the father of the faithful. But that God promised him, he brought it to pass. And then we think of the way that the cattleman or the herdman of Lot and Abraham, which really Lot wasn't supposed to be in the picture. Because the Lord commanded Abraham to get out from his people and go to another place. And for some reason, somehow, Lot was permitted to go along with him. And their herds increased. Their cattle multiplied. And they became wealthy in cattle and the things of this life. And there came a controversy or disagreement or argument between the herdman of Lot and the herdman of Abraham. And Abraham said to Lot, we be brethren, let's not let this strife and this contention come between us. If you want the right hand, I'll take the left. If you want the left hand, I'll take the right. And we notice that Lot looked toward Sodom and he obtained, he looked at, he beheld the well-watered plains. Oh, how good his cattle would grow. And how cheap he could feed them on that pasture that was out there already prepared. But you remember, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Oh, which way are we pitching our tent today? Are we leaning toward Sodom? Are we going back, my friend, to where Christ went to Calvary in our place, paid our sin debt, paid the atonement, the ultimate sacrifice that we could be redeemed from sin? I'll quote another verse of Scripture. The Bible tells us all unrighteousness is sin. Is what we're doing, will it measure up to being righteous acts, righteous deeds? God is righteous. God is holy. And another Scripture, the thoughts of foolishness is sin. He that sinneth is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Friend, today Are we listening to Satan's suggestions? When he comes to attack us, do we just pull up a chair and invite him to sit down by us and carry on a conversation with us? If so, my friend, we're getting out from under the blood covering of Jesus Christ. We're getting out from under the righteousness of God when we invite the devil to out-talk us. That's what he's there for. It's to out-talk you, to persuade you. He persuaded Eve, and she partook of that that God said don't partake of. She knew that God had given a commandment not to eat or even touch that forbidden fruit. And some folks call it unforbidden, but I'm going to say it forbidden fruit, because God forbid that they eat it. They were not supposed to even touch it. She told Satan that God said we'd die. He said, oh, you won't surely die. God knows you won't die. Your eyes will just be open and you know it good and evil. Yes, God knows it. But following the suggestions of Satan, if we do it, we're getting out from under the cloak because of covering of God's righteousness. It won't do. It won't do. I admonish you. I'm talking to people that know the Lord. And I'm admonishing you, don't pay attention to the devil. The scripture tells us to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Friend, today I want us to realize the importance of being clothed in the righteousness of God. We go to the 35th chapter of Isaiah, in the 8th verse, there is a highway there is a way and a highway that shall be there. It shall be called the way of holiness. No unclean thing shall pass over it. But it's going to be for the pure, the undefiled, those that are righteous, and those that are clothed in the righteousness of God is who walks on the King's highway, and it leads home after a while. If we'll stay with him, we can make the grade. We can stand the test. We can be overcomers by him and through him that gave himself at Calvary, that we could be overcomers in the name of the Lord. We go back to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, in the latter part of the chapter. I, Paul, writing, and I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principalities nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature, things present or things to come, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me tell you, there is grace of God, and there is more grace than you and me need, because God's storehouse is full of that that we're in need of, and we can have an abundant supply if we keep ourselves humble before God. Another quotation, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Gives grace to the humble. Oh, to think about what Paul went through with in his ministry, how he was persecuted, how he was buffeted, how he was stoned, how he was beaten, how he was shipwrecked. My friend, he had it rough coming his way. But after a while, the Lord being my helper, I'll get to some of his last words. But we want to talk about the times when he was speaking, acting, carrying on with his Pharisaical religion. He bound, he had put in prison, and he was a witness even when Stephen, one of the 7 deacons of the first Christian church, New Testament church. There were 7 appointed, ordained deacons to carry on the work. Because there's some folks that say they ain't got no use for deacons. But in the New Testament church, there was deacons. And this Stephen that was stoned to death was one of those seven. And they stoned him to death. And Saul of Tarsus was a witness to it. And I don't know how many throwed stones, but some of them laid their coats at the foot of Saul of Tarsus. He was a witness to the happening when it went on. And as Stephen was so clothed in the righteousness of God, till he prayed, don't lay this sin to the charge. Our Father, forgive him. And whenever he prayed, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. My friend, listen, you and me can hold a connection with God if we'll keep up our prayer life and measure our lives by God's holy word, not some fairy tale and not this new stuff that people are reading and taking to heart. That's not God's word. It's derived, and they call it the Bible, but it's a compromise, and it won't stand judgment inspection, and it won't get you, my friend, through this world, and you be kept covered by the blood of Jesus. That compromise that people's eating up, that deception that's going throughout the world. Jesus warned the disciples, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. If you and me expect everlasting life, we must live in this world clothed in the righteousness of God. Jesus told the disciples when he was about to leave them, he says, while I'm with you, I'm the light of the world. But I'm going to leave you. I'm going away now. You're the light of the world. If you are a follower of Christ, it's your responsibility to live and conduct yourself in a way that the world can look at you and tell you are not of the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. I know we're commanded to work and make livelihood for our families. That's our responsibility. He that provideth not for his own, and especially them of his own household, hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. An infidel is one that claims to not believe in God. So is an atheist. They claim not to believe in God or in Jesus Christ. But I worked with one in Albany when I started public work, and it didn't take him long to see the jail cellars were some different to what he had been looking at. It's not our business to make our light shine, but it's our business to stay sprayed up to the extent that our light will shine in a dark world that we're living in. Hold your connection with God, whatever it takes. And my friend, it's going to take it to be acceptable with the judge when we stand in the judgment of God. We can get careless and unconcerned, get cold and indifferent, and lose our experience with the Lord. But it's not wisdom to do it. It's not essential to do it. It's not advisable to do it. The best thing that we can do, Solomon said in the 12th chapter, I believe it was, of Ecclesiastes, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for every work shall be brought into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or bad. It's going to the judgment of God. How are we measuring ourselves? How are we taking stock of our lives? How are we measuring our lives by God's word and seeing where you stand or where we're on the mud? The righteousness of God will see us through. Paul, the shipwreck that he had, the times that he was beaten, and the things that he had to undergo. If you remember, the angel that spoke to Ananias, this was not Sapphira's husband now, this was another Ananias, spoke to him and told him that Paul, or he was Saul of Tarsus till he was converted, and on the road to Damascus when this great light shined around him above the brightness of the noonday sun, I say it was a bright light. Sometimes the sun shines bright enough that it's nearby dangerous to face it, going directly toward it in the late evening when it's about an hour to 30 minutes to sundown, and that sun shines so bright. I drove against it for numbers of times, for miles and miles, but it's dangerous driving. But this light that shined down around Saul of Tarsus, the people say it knocked him down, but the scripture said he fell to the earth. He fell. And there came a voice that said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he realized, and he asked the question, "Who art thou, Lord?" And said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. What would you have me do, Lord?" He told him to rise and go into the city, and it would be told him there what he must do. And the Lord talked to Ananias and told him about this man going to come, and he was going to lay his hands on him, and he would receive his sight and receive the Holy Ghost. Brother Neil, he must have done some pretty quick cleaning up and getting in shape, hadn't he? A lot of folks seem like it takes them a long time. They went and they went and they begged and they prayed. But the Bible tells us it gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey. And the Holy Ghost is our keeper. Jesus told the disciples, "You go into Jerusalem and tarry till you be endued with power. And when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll guide you to all truths, and he'll bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And he'll show you things to come." He is very necessary in our lives. I'm not saying that there's people that couldn't make it without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some have made it, I'm sure. But in our day and time, if there was ever a time when it's more necessary to have, it's more necessary now than 60 or 70 years ago. We're in a late evening time. We're in an evil time. The Bible tells us evil men and seducers are like worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In the book of Ephesians, I can pick up a verse or two in Colossians as I pass by. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." When Christ, who is our life, we can't live without him, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, put to death. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is adultery, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. The wrath of God on the children of disobedience. But obedience will entitle us to that promise, that comforter that Jesus promised the disciples. Commissioned them to go and tarry till they be endued with power. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell and they were speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And listen, sometimes there's a mockery. Sometimes there's a counterfeit. And some people can tell the difference. And some people don't know the difference. You hear me? God help us to live close enough to Calvary, so covered by his blood and anointed with his Spirit, directed by his Spirit, that we'll be able to detect when that is damnable and false comes in among us. The the book of Ephesians in the 6th chapter. Since I've got as much time as I have, the Lord being my helper, let me read a good bit right here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's a responsibility on parents that a lot of people never did assume. Just let them do what they want to. Let them be the boss. You can bend a sapling right after it's put out, transplanted. But you give it a few years of growth and then go bend it. That child, you can direct him. You can correct him and guide him in the way he should go. If you'll do it in time. And if you'll be a Bible reader and a Bible doer, you're commanded to do so. But when you wait till they get 21, they're setting their ways pretty well. And let me throw in something else while I'm talking about setting in the ways. I think about young people getting married, and it's easier for young people to adjust. Than it is for people 65 and 70, 80 years old to readjust. One fellow that had lived to be to ripe old age, we'll say, and he was by his children, they tried to instruct him, but he had been boss for 60 years, and he didn't know how to turn loose that responsibility. He just didn't know how to turn it loose. My daddy used to say, and this is not scripture, but my daddy used to say that the parents ought to make the children mind when they're small and children. And he says when the parents gets old and childish, then the children ought to make them mind. I told the nurses when I was in the hospital, those that waited on me, I says, I'm here to get good. I says, if you get your clear to me, my hearing's not the best, but if you get it to where I can understand it, I'll do my best to cooperate with you. Because if I'm not cooperating with you, your service to me won't be its best. So if we'll come to the scripture, God's holy word, and line up with it, we can make progress. We can reach home after a while. Let me read a little further. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Skipping down to number 9, and ye masters do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Now I want you to get this close. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And in order to be strong, we're going to have to be covered with the righteousness of God, clothed in his righteousness. By yourself, you can't do it. By yourself, you can't stand. By myself, I can't stand. But there's one that's traveled the road before us. There's one that's fixed the pattern. There's one that's fixed the plan. And there's one that's paid the debt at Calvary. And that promised his disciples, lo, I'm with you. I'll go with you all the way even to the world, end of the world. And when Jesus commissioned his disciples to go to Jerusalem and tarry, and then when he was about to be ascended and taken away from them, he gave them that commission to go into all the world and let their life be a light that'll shine like a city set on a hill. And he said, lo, I'm with you always. And since he was walking in the person of Mary, boy, while he walked among men on 2 feet, he said, I'm going to pray the Father and he'll send you another comforter. And that comforter that Jesus Christ said, the Holy Ghost, how he can be with you and be with me. Christ can be in one place at a time, but the Holy Ghost, that was sent as a comforter, to God redeemed people, he can be here, there, and yonder at the same time. It's good to have him. It's good to know him. And it's good to be obedient to him. Let's look into the perfect law of liberty and see how we register. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, when I geared up a mule and plowed, I didn't leave half of the gear hanging on the side of the barn and go to the field with just half of the gear on the mule. Couldn't done much of job plowing. Folks nowadays don't know much about plowing mules, not in our country. In the Amish country, they still work big horses sometimes, if they ain't changed in the last few years since I witnessed some of it. The whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Can some of y'all tell me a higher place than where I'm standing? Some compromisers said that it's not speaking about behind the desk, behind the bookstand. Says it's out yonder in the offices in the world. I beg to differ if I must make such a statement. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Jesus said they'll come to you in sheep clothing. And Paul mentioned about raving wolves. And Jesus said, let no man deceive you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Let me tell us today, there's more deception from behind the bookboard than there is true gospel preached in this church world today. Sometime or another, I heard a man say, we don't have to preach against anything. Just preach the word. I'll run back over yonder to Isaiah 58 and said, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people about their sins and the house of Jacob, their transgressions. There's something to preach against. We're in this battle to fight the devil till it's over. And if we don't fight him, we're subject to be taking place with him. And I remember a little preacher that was at Providence some years ago, and he used for a text, give not place to the devil. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But if we invite him to conversate with us and we listen to his suggestions, we're asking for destruction. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. They said the way is too hard. The way of a saint's too hard. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, 29, 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Psalm 119, 11 said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. No, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. 89 said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. 105 said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And 109 said, my soul is continually in my hand. My soul's in my hand. What are you doing about your soul? It's going to be eternal. It came from the breath of God. And it will exist in eternity somewhere. What a responsibility. My soul's in my hand. Yet do I not forget thy law. What God's word commands us, we are responsible to fulfill it and to come up to his requirements. the armor of God. Get some more about Paul. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The faith. The faith. I have kept the faith. Your faith in God determines your victory. If you lose faith in God, look out. You're about to lose your experience. Your soul's in your hand. It's your responsibility to do your part of the arranging for your soul for eternity while you live in this world. Are we clothed in the righteousness of God? Or do we want to just make a sham and make ourselves think we're going to get by? If you love the world, the love of God is not in you. Or the love of the Father is not in you. Oh, it's so necessary for us to go by God's word and pay attention to what it's telling us. I want to go back and pick up some more about Paul as he was finishing his work. And he knew that his labors was about over with. All his times he had been beaten five times, suffered he 40 stripes, save one. I understand it was against the law in that day to put 40 stripes on a man. So they went their limit. They put 35 on him, and that was done, 39 on him, and that was done five times, if I remember the scriptures correctly. And he was stoned and left for dead. But God wasn't through with him. And my friend, listen, we must finish our course with joy. With joy we draw from the well of salvation. And we must keep our faith anchored in him that holds our lives in hand. If we let our faith go, we're in dangerous trouble. We're on dangerous territory. The 12th chapter of Daniel, I believe it is. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the powers of the holy people. The holy people. The devil is out to destroy your faith if you will allow it. But you don't have to allow it. And I don't have to allow it. Keep our faith in him that made the promise to us, that's able to fulfill his promises. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. He didn't see, he just couldn't understand how this that God had promised could be fulfilled. But in God's time, it was fulfilled. And he told Abraham he'd make his seed become as the stars of the sky. And as the sand of the seashore, innumerable, not able to be counted, God's promises. And he holds your life in his hands. He holds my life in his hands. And he's the one that we're serving. And he's the one that's going to reward us for a life of faithful service when we stand before him. Or else. Bible mentions about in this parable the man gathering his sheep and putting them on the right hand and the goats on the left hand, and the sheep will represent the Christians, those that have been Christ-like and lived up to the requirements of God's word, and to them he'll say, come be blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom of prayer of you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. When did we see you in this shape, Lord? Inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brother. Do we realize that that person that's in hand reach of us is in need? It's our responsibility, if we can, to do something about it. Sometime or other, there'll be a time when you'll be permitted to do something for somebody, and that will be a resemblance of you doing it for Christ. Let's live holy. Let's stay clothed in the righteousness of God, and let's be ready. Paul said, I'm now ready. Now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. The faith. Our victory, as I said, our victory will be determined by our faith in God. Let's stay with Him if we have to suffer for Him. Let's stay with Him if the going gets rough. Let's stay with Him even if people reject and turn a deaf ear to our message. Let's stay with God. He told Ezekiel, I'm going to set you as a watchman. And if you see trouble coming and you warn the people and they give heed, you'll be salvation to them. That's the word I'm using at the time. But if you see the trouble coming and you don't warn them and then they're overtaken with the trouble, their blood will I require at your hands. Preach, brethren, is a responsibility on us. If we vary from the truth to suit somebody, we're getting on dangerous grounds. Let's stay with what God said. It'll pay off in the end. It'll mean a crown of life. Be thou faithful till death. Revelations 2:10, the latter clause of the verse said, be thou faithful till death, and I'll give you a crown of life. I'm not looking for a crown of gold with so many stars, but if I can hear the master of all masters say, well done, my child, enter into the joys of the Lord, that'll be worth every mile of the trip. My granddaddy Salter used to sing, the toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. I have so many hills to climb upward, I often am longing for rest. But he who appoints me my pathway knows just what is needful and best. I know in his word he hath promised that my strength yet shall be at my day, and the toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. Well, wife, I found a model church and worship there today. It made me think of good old times before my hair was gray. The meeting house was finer built than they were years ago. But then I found when I went in, it was not built for show. The sexton did not set me down away back by the door. He saw that I was old and deaf and knew that I was poor. He must have been a Christian man. He led me boldly through the long aisles of that crowded church to find a pleasant view. The preacher said with trumpet voice, let all the people. Old Coronation was a tune. I mixed up. I got a copy in there somewhere, but I might not find it too quick. The preacher said with trumpet voice, let all the people sing. Old Coronation was a tune. The music up would roll till I thought I heard the angel choir strike on their hearts of gold. My deafness seemed to melt away. My spirit caught the fire. I joined my feeble, trembling voice with that melodious choir and sang as in my youthful days, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth a royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth a royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Dear wife, the toils will soon be o'er. Our race is nearly run. A shining land is just ahead. The victory is almost won. We're nearing Canaan's happy land, that home so bright and fair. Thank God we'll never sigh again. There'll be no sorrow there. There'll be no sorrow there. In heaven above, where all is love, there'll be no sorrow there. If we'll stay clothed in the righteousness of God, we'll get to experience something after a while that this world cannot dream of. Now say, God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.